Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
This is John 14, starting at verse 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will send you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you on this Pentecost Sunday that you poured out your Spirit on the followers of Jesus. We invite you to pour out your Spirit on us again. We are thirsty. We are hungry for more of you. And we say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome amongst your people. Amen. Please take a seat. Good morning. It's lovely to be with you this morning, despite my graceful entrance. I have been advised by my physio never ever to put on skis again. Once was sufficient. It's lovely to be here with you this morning. I'd like to start by wishing you a happy birthday from everybody at King's Church in Durham. They're celebrating their birthday as well. So it's great to be here to celebrate Pentecost with you. I know many of us will be gathering at the cathedral in Durham this evening for a special time of prayer and praise to celebrate. But this morning, I've been asked to speak on one of my very favourite passages, which is a joy to my soul, 1 Corinthians 12. And it's the perfect text for today, because it's where the Apostle Paul talks to the church in Corinth about the birthday presents that Jesus gives to his people, both then and now. They're not the kind of smellies or gadgets that we might regularly be on the receiving end of. We call them spiritual gifts. And one of the things I love most about the letters that Paul writes is that they show us what a bunch of muppets the Christians 2,000 years ago were. Of course, I am certain there is no muppetry in this church. We have no muppetry at King's, you'll be glad to know. We are all perfect replicas of Jesus, as I'm sure you are. There's no insecurity, no neurosis, no jealousy, none of that kind of muppetry. Fortunately for us, though, the early church was packed with muppets. The letter to the Ephesians, oh my goodness, you would not want to be the vicar to the Ephesians. The Galatians, frankly, in polite company, you shouldn't repeat what Paul said to the Galatians. The Philippians, they got a cuddle with the Apostle Paul. They were doing well. But the Corinthians, muppetry, all sorts of muppetry. And when it comes to spiritual gifts, they were clearly quite insecure. They clearly had issues on this subject. They appeared to suffer from a particular issue that I like to call gift envy. Gift envy is where you compare the spiritual gifts that Jesus has given to one person with the sort he's given to you. And again, I'm sure nobody in this church ever does that. Certainly at King's, it never happens. Fortunately for us, however, because of the Corinthian muppetry, we now have Paul's top tips on how to manage that. So this is actually 2,000 years later a win for us. And it always strikes me that the way we translate the word charismata as grace gifts is a bit of a mixed blessing. Sometimes we call them spiritual gifts, sometimes we call them grace gifts. What is great about that translation, grace gifts, is that it highlights the fact that they are undeserved abilities that the Holy Spirit gives to us. They're grace. God gives them out of his goodness, out of his grace. We don't have to earn them. The super spiritual don't get some, and the less spiritual others. They are entirely God's grace. But the trouble is, I think, with the word gift and how we tend to view gifts. Okay? Typically, we understand in our culture a gift to be mine. It's my Christmas present. It's my birthday present. It's for me. It's for my pleasure, my entertainment, and that's where we come unstuck with the phrase spiritual gifts. Because we often transfer that same attitude, it's mine, onto the charismata. And we are told that's not how spiritual gifts work. Spiritual gifts are more like tools than they are like presents. They're something that has purpose, that has value, when it's used to achieve something. They're supposed to be about blessing other people, not blessing ourselves. So they're supposed to be about building the kingdom of God, which is why gift envy, which none of us ever suffer from, is a bit daft, really. It is muppetry. Paul says, if you turn back to 1 Corinthians, he starts off verses 1 to 3 by talking about how you tell whether a prophecy is from God or not. Now, the reason he does that is that there are a lot of pagan temples going on in ancient Corinth. Sure, you know about this. Aphrodite, the goddess of love, had a huge temple at the top of the hill in Corinth, they think, with 1,000 temple prostitutes. Poseidon was worshipped in Corinth. Unsurprisingly, lots of sailors worshipped Poseidon. So there was a big temple to Poseidon as well. And Paul says, you were led astray to idols that were mute, that could not speak. Aphrodite, Poseidon, they don't talk. But now you have come to follow Jesus, you've come to follow the Father, Yahweh. He is a talking God. He is a God that speaks to his people. However, you need to know how to work out whether something is him speaking or is someone making it up. Okay? So in a world for them where there were lots of prophets for hire, like fortune tellers, you can tell who to trust based on whether they bless the name of Jesus or curse the name of Jesus. Okay? Lots of these believers in Corinth were used to going to temples to get a blessing or get direction, get advice. And Paul is saying, when someone brings a prophecy in church, the way you can tell it's God or not is if Jesus is blessed. If it honors Jesus, it's God. If it doesn't, it's not. Simple. And you might go, well, we don't worship at, you know, the temple of Aphrodite or Poseidon, or, you know, what's that got to do with us? And that's a fair question. But I think this is still really helpful wisdom for us. Because we live in a world where all sorts of wisdom is peddled. We even exist in a church culture. I don't mean St. Barnabas, I mean a wider church culture, a global church culture, where all sorts of stuff is peddled. You know, the number of sermons you can listen to online is infinite. The number of worship songs you can download, should that be your choice, is infinite. People do a funny pick and mix spirituality in our age. This is a good way to test those things that we hear. Does it bring honor to Jesus or not? If it's all about us, if it's self-help spirituality, we need to be careful with that. But if it honors Jesus, then that probably is the Lord. Having established how to work out if something is from God or not, Paul then goes on, as we heard read, to talk about the kind of gifts that the Holy Spirit gives in verses 4-6. He says there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who activates all of them in everyone. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, are involved in delegating gifts to the body of Christ. And those gifts may vary, but they all come from the same place. And the most important thing in this is verse 7. Everyone gets to play. To each follower of Jesus is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I have spent 20 years in ministry, mainly with young people, and 20 years of experience teaches me that in any given group of Christians, there will be somebody going, I haven't got any gifts. I haven't got any. Some of you are probably doing that right now. I see one or two little guilty smiles. I have some news for you, if that is your internal dialogue, and it is this. I'm very sorry, but you're not that special. That of the millions of his followers over 2,000 years, God would single you out and go, boys, not him. No, we're not giving him anything. I'm sorry. No, that one at the back, her. No. Cross her off. She doesn't get any. That's not what Paul said. You can take it up with him in glory if you like. But Paul says very clearly to each believer, each follower of Jesus, some sort of gift is given. Why? To serve with, for the common good. This is why I think actually calling them tools, the charismata, is better than calling them gifts. Because basically we know that tools, you're supposed to do something with them, you're supposed to use them. And Paul is really clear that my gifts are for your benefit. Your gifts are for my benefit. All of our gifts are to serve each other. They're not all about me. They are all about you. They are all about us. Not just the vicars, not just the clergy, not just the readers, not just the people on the prayer ministry rota, not just the musicians, to all of us. The Holy Spirit gives gifts. Verses 8 through 11 list a whole load of them. Healing, prophecy, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, miracles. There are all sorts of weird and wonderful gifts listed in 1 Corinthians. Some of them are the kind of really overtly supernatural ones, like the ones you couldn't make up. Gift of healing? Boom. Who doesn't want a gift of healing? I am certain that from this list that is in 1 Corinthians 12, there are people in this congregation that have those gifts. You may not know it, you may not be using them, but they are really useful tools. They aren't the only gifts Paul talks about. In other places, let's try again. He talks about other sorts of gifts. These are some of the other sorts of gifts that he identifies. Administration. Who knew administration was a spiritual gift? Trust me, the body of Christ needs administrators. Power to their elbows. Singleness, the gift everybody wants to send back. Hospitality, mercy, the gift of helping. That is a spiritual gift. Often, people can't identify their own spiritual gifts because, well, everybody can do this, can't they? No, trust me. I do not have a gift of helps. If I stack the chairs, I want everybody to notice, thank you. People with a gift of helps stack the chairs, and that's enough for them. All of these things are tools for the common good. And God decides who gets what gift because he knows what he needs each of us to do. This is where the problem of gift envy kicks in. And I will hold my hands up from time to time. I struggle with this.
Wish I could do what they can do, Lord.
I can get a bit huffy like a child who doesn't want to play with their toys. They want to play with their siblings' toys.
But the truth is that when we do that, the chances are that we're not using our own gifts to serve with. We're not developing the ministry that Jesus has for us. We haven't worked out what we're for. Because when we use our gifts, each of us, that is a life-giving experience. Whatever it is, whether it's healing, whether it's mercy, whether it's generosity, using our gifts blesses others, it brings life to us, and most importantly, it brings glory to God. And that was true. What is also true is that the early Corinthians really struggled with gift envy. Paul uses this metaphor of being a body. If the foot were to say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it wouldn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that wouldn't make it any less part of the body. We all need each other. It's like, comparing gifts is like asking, which is better, an apple or an orange? Well, it depends if you want to make a pie or it's half time on a sports field. You know, which is most useful, a hammer or a screwdriver? It depends entirely on the job you want to do. Which is better, a tractor or a sports car? Well, it depends on your situation. Do you need to go fast or do you need to drag a plow? Do you see what I mean? Gift envy, muppetry. God gives different gifts, different tools to different people because they have different purposes, different contributions to make. We are to be a team. Different organs play different specific roles in a body. The real issue is, I suspect, and this may not be true in this church, but I think lots of Christians don't know what their gifts are. Or they aren't using them if they do know. And so the church is a kind of disabled body. We kind of limp along, or we're deaf in one side. And lots of people go, oh, I'm only a toe. Do you know what the Romans used to do to runaway slaves? They chopped off their big toes. Do you know why? It's very difficult to walk, and it's impossible to run without a big toe. Oh, I'm only a thumb. Yeah, you try picking something up without your thumb. Oh, I'm only an eyelid. Yeah. Imagine if you didn't have eyelids. Do you see the point I'm making? The point I'm making is that all parts of the body matter. They all have a role to play. So I want to encourage you today, this day of Pentecost, our birthday, where we acknowledge the gifts that God has given us to bless others, to serve him with, to start exploring that. It might be that you know full well what your gifts are and you're using them to serve. Power to your elbow. But if you don't, or if you're not sure, now could be the time to start exploring that. I want to finish just briefly with a story. It's a story about my hairdresser. I have lots of strange conversations with hairdressers. When they find out I'm, you know, kind of work for a church, they're like, ooh, don't really know what to say now. This particular hairdresser changed the subject very quickly. We went back to, oh, we're going on holiday. But anyway, I saw her two or three times and she cut my hair and, you know, we started to become friends a little bit. And then what happened was that my parents live in New Zealand. They are of an age where things are starting to go wrong. And my mother was very ill, 12,000 miles away. That is difficult. And somebody in our church wrote a check anonymously and sent it to a local travel agent. I got a letter from the travel agent saying, there's £1,000 here, yes, for you to come and spend on a plane ticket to go to New Zealand. I said some things that were probably not what Jesus would say, and then cried a lot, and then went and bought a plane ticket to New Zealand. So I went to New Zealand, visited my parents. That was awesome. Still to this day, do not know who used that gift of generosity to pay for my flights. But I was chatting to my hairdresser, who does not want to talk about things of God. He said, oh, I haven't seen you for a while. Have you been away? Because hairdresser talk. And I said, yes, I've been to New Zealand. And she went, oh, lovely. And I said, so I told the story that somebody in our church family had anonymously paid for me to go and visit my parents. And she stood there and her jaw went slack and she welled up and she went, I didn't know people like that still existed. I used to go to church when I was a kid, and here it came, her whole story about her faith, and then she said, maybe I will go back to church. That gift of generosity that somebody in our community used actually turned out to be an evangelistic tool. Now, I've no idea whether this girl has gone back to church or not, but that gift of generosity, which blessed me enormously, witnessed to the goodness of God to a non-believer. So I want to encourage you, whatever your gift is, if you use it, God will be glorified. Happy birthday. Enjoy your presence. Amen.